social media platform, get a Tesla to stay mobile, use Starlink for the best internet, and send money on my platform. And of course, thanks to the taxpayers. Without you, this would have not been possible. Soon I'll be a trillionaire. You are my biggest supporters. I became Mr. Monopoly and the unelected Jewish president thanks to two-thirds of my friends who are Jewish.
No, I have like two-thirds of my friends are Jewish. Okay. I have twice as many Jewish friends as non-Jewish friends. I'm like Jewish by association. I'm aspirationally Jewish. So I don't know. You know, I was like, what are people talking about this anti-Semitism? I never hear it at dinner conversations. It's like an absurdity, at least in my friend circles.
Chat. Thanks for being the dumbest, fucktard white nationalist supremacist ever and supporting my bigger grift and paying me over $200,000 in the last couple of years. Thanks, dumb fucks.
You came into my life and tried to do me wrong. So in return for that, I have sent you this song. It tells you what I think and how I feel about you. So take a seat and listen up, 'cause every single word is true. Dickhead, you're such a dickhead. And everybody knows it, everyone but you. You're a dickhead.
What the fuck is this piece of shit?
My Uncle Boner, he gave me free crystal meth. He gave me free beers, free shots. He bought me pizza. All I had to do was write his bratwurst, don't you know? Let's go.
Expelled throughout the world more than 1,000 times. Whoever lets them in has got to be out of their mind. They take control and drive the nation into ruin. But there is something I can do. Yeah. Towers turned to dust live on the news. Right away I knew it had to be something to do with Jews. That set us up for what we're going through since then. If we don't prevail, this time is the end. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Uber Bench. I'm gonna fight until these Jews have been deposed from my land. I see two kites disguised with my superhuman sight, crypto kite. Change your name, you comb your hair to catch the goyim unaware. You fix your crooked nose and work to turn our country's brown. You had us fighting German men, but this is now and that was then. And you can bet that we would back our brothers now. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I want all white nations to declare Jews permanently banned. I see right through their lies with my superhuman sight, crypto guy. But my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm going. fight these Jews until they've all been thrown from my land. I see through Kai's disguise with my superhuman sight. Crypto Kai, yeah! They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm gonna fight these Jews, and you too if you don't take a stand. Next step is genocide, the final solution, right?
And don't tell me there's good Jews. Jewry is a race. Jews are a Jews. The only good Jews I know are dead and buried, and I can't wait for the bad Jews to be good Jews. And it's all going to take place, whether you like it or not. Whether you think it's terrible or not, it doesn't matter. My father said they're all going to die. And I think that's marvelous.
Why did you do it? Why did you tell such a big lie to so many people for so long?
This was posted by a professor at Rutgers University on his Facebook page.
The Jews clearly control the media and the banks.
Like, if you're going to take people's guns away, wait till you get elected, then take the guns away.
I have decided we really need camps for adults.
You can wait, though!
Stomp on his head. I ain't sorry from what I did, either.
Don't come to our borders.
I don't care about the Jews. I care about white people.
What do you think you have ahead to try and convince that?
This is a warning for what's coming.
The government needs to recognize that white supremacy is a global terror threat.
You do not negotiate with these people. You destroy them.
Again and 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 again.
A bit of a problem.
You will read the Talmud. You will worship Saturn. You will be circumcised. You will suck baby dicks. Come on, Goy. Make your mind up, time. Come, be a Shabbos Goy. This is anti-Semitic. Oy vey.
White America, wake the fuck up.
White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white Europe, wake the fuck up. Hello, everyone. TGIFF, man, rough week. All right, welcome to this perfect triangle number 227. It's March 7th, the Ides of March. One day it's nice, one day it's wintry. Crazy how that goes. But soon it will just be nice. All right, we're going to have a great show. I'm joined right now by two awesome minds, co-host Zach from Logos Reveal, and for hour number one, my longtime co-host Dave Scorpio. So welcome, Zach. How are you? What's on your mind this March 7th, Friday? Oh,
many names in my head.
I'm sorry. I had you muted. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Then maybe you didn't hear that. I called you the wrong name. I addressed you as Dave. I apologize.
Dave's not here. Dave's not here. That's that old Cheech and Chong routine. All right.
Well, good afternoon, G. It's a pleasure to be back on. I'm finally think I've hit the end of my fatigue from my illness. I'm feeling very energetic today.
Oh, so that's great, man. These bioweapons they create are nasty, nasty, and they linger quite a long time. But yeah, typically, like in Oriental medicine, it goes down five layers, and if you get to the fifth layer of your internal organs, you're really sick. And the final layer, like you're experiencing right now, is just a little bit of a pluggy nose, and then it passes. So I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. I also theorize, you know, there's a good deal of different pathogens that are coming through with all of these mass immigrants moving in from all
100%,
areas.
6 million%. Yeah.
You know, you think back to the United States when we first were founded, and when our founding fathers came over here, they killed off a lot of Native Americans, not by actual warfare or conflict, but by the diseases they brought. Literally, just the common cold for us was very deadly to them because it was so foreign to their bodies.
Great point.
Yeah. I think there's a good deal of that that's happening too with all these people moving in. They're bringing in these incredibly foreign pathogens into our countries.
Okay, we're joined by our guest, John Massaro, brilliant author and world traveler. Let's see. Right here should work. All right, let's try this out. Hello, John. Can you hear me? Dave and Zach, did you hear John?
I did not on my end, no.
You didn't hear? Huh. Okay. Let me stop sharing. And all right, let's try sharing again. Okay, let's try this one. Oh, maybe that's what I didn't do. Okay, let's try it again. John, say hello to the fellas. Did you hear him that time?
No, still nothing on my end.
What the heck? Okay. Yeah. All right, let me try this again. I see. Okay, let's do this. Let me undo share screen on the StreamYard side and reset everything. All right, so we're going to go like, we want that, the entire screen, we want that audio on. Okay, now let's try here. Okay, try again, John, say hello to the fellas. Did you hear him that time?
No, still nothing.
What the hell? Fucking Microsoft. Let's confirm stop sharing for a second. Confirm. So, okay. Okay. Let's try this one then. Switch screen. Okay, try again, John. I'm sorry. Mike. Anyway, please try again. No. What a bunch of garbage. Fucking, okay, so. No, they're already in StreamYard. I'm trying to use dual monitors to share. Okay, let's see how this one goes. Okay, Zach, say something. Let's see here if he can hear you. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, are you able to hear me?
Do you hear him, John? Huh. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to settings in Skype. Maybe something got foobarred during one of their recent updates. All right, audio and video. Let's see what we got. We need the microphone's fine. The speakers are correct. Okay. That should be no problem. Then that should be working. Let's see. Okay, now let's try it. Oh, holy cow, it finally loaded. Okay, this might actually work now. All right. Man, I hate fucking Microsoft. Okay, this should do it. All right, it wasn't loading properly. Okay, go ahead, John. Try now. Do you hear Zach? Dave, do you hear him?
Still don't hear anything.
That's so weird because it's... Okay. Let's try... Okay. All right. So that... Let's try going here. Is that the right one? Yeah, it is. All right. Switch screen. Try again, John. This is crazy. Do you hear him?
No, I'm still nothing at all.
That's so weird because this always used to work. The sharing of let me go into settings. Audio here. Yep, that's right. That's all right. Default mic test. Yeah, my mic's fine. The speakers are working. This is insane. I mean, this worked for how many years, Scorpio? Scorpio, how are you, by the way? What's up with you while we're trying to solve this?
I am doing well. I first like to say hail victory. And, you know, I think Zach is right about the pathogens from all these weird races being brought in, all these chinks and other people that are just so completely alien to our country. It's bizarre. I have to deal with them at the gym, these people. They're just, it's like dealing with aliens, like from another, you know, dimension or something. But I also do think that pathogens are being sprayed on us through this chemtrail.
Oh, that absolutely.
That might sound crazy. Because I don't think the chemtrail program is only for weather modification. I believe that they're spraying all kinds of pathogens on us. And I think that's how they actually delivered the original, coronavirus scare. When it was actually, you know, really making people sick. I think that was done from the air, personally.
Totally agree. All right, I tried it one last time. Go ahead, John. Let's see if the guys can hear you. No. Did you hear them? Go ahead, Dave. Speak again.
Yes, chink, 1, 2, 3, chink.
Chink, 1, 2, 3. Do you hear Dave Scorpio, John? Oh, good. Okay. So, but you can't, the lads can't hear you, though. Huh. It just makes no sense. So, all right. Well, at least it's working one way now. Let's try it one more time. This is just, I'll tell you what, man, Microsoft really is infuriating. All right. We want to share the sound. We've tried both of those windows. They both should work. Huh. Oh, okay. So that's, what? So weird. Let's try going right here. That should work just fine. Okay, John, one more time. Nothing, Zach?
No, nothing at all.
That's so weird because this worked for years just fine, and now suddenly it doesn't. So, egg. Yeah, I know. No, I think it's something to do with a recent Skype update or something. And let me look at settings again, but it should be sharing the audio. It's worked for 5 years doing it that way with these two monitors, and now suddenly it doesn't. So let's see. Let's look at general. Yeah, no, of course, John. I feel bad because, you know, we had a lot of a good show planned, and you can hear them, and everything is set properly. Not well. Hold on, let me look at one more thing. Let's see this. So let's take a look at the. Well, that's not right. Maybe this will fix that. Interesting. Try now, John. Oh, you don't hear him even after I fixed the Windows setting that was on the wrong, damn. Let's look at more volume setting. Those are right. That's right. That's right. Let's look at the mixer. What the heck? Okay. That's not. Oh, it's not letting me. That's weird. Why are there two Skypes loaded? Fucking Windows, man. All right. Even going into the Windows settings now, they should both work. Let's check it. That's right. Let's check this one. Why are there two Skypes? Let's do that. Change that. Hardwire these settings. Okay, John, one last time. Try it again. You guys don't hear him? Nothing? This is very frustrating. Well, John, I guess I've done everything. It always worked. I don't know. Let's true. Oh, for me to I'm not sure if the listeners can hear you or not either. So that's probably bad. All right, let's try one last time sharing just to the monitor. Go ahead, John, one final time. No, it's not working. Well, John, I'm going to have to. I know Microsoft is phasing out Skype in May, so maybe I'll bite the bullet and switch over to Teams and see if Teams will share screens, because it's current Microsoft tech. But we might as well pull the plug on it today. I'm really sorry. This should be working, but it's not. I don't understand why it's not. So I fixed everything as far as I know. So all right, John, I'll get with you over the weekend, and once I get some more testing done and I get it working, then we'll reschedule. Sorry, John. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Okay, bye-bye. Well, that's fucking frustrating. I mean, this has worked forever, but now all of a sudden it doesn't. So, all right. Well, let's go to the ongoing theme of the shows for 2025 is to try and get more cooperation instead of ad hominem insults between boomer generation and zoomer generation. A lot of vitriol between the two. And it's really counterproductive to saving the white race. So, Zach, your thoughts on what we people can do to just have an honest dialogue between younger and older white people, and then come up with a plan?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's actually up to the youth, really, I think, how they approach a dialogue like that. The older generation has this, boomer generation, I guess we'll say, they have this complex of, you know, they've lived their life. They have the wisdom of the years, and there's right. nothing that you could possibly know that they don't know. Right. You know, I experienced this, firsthand growing up, because I grew up, with grandparents, and they are, of that generation. And every time, you know, you try to display something that might be out of their realm of knowledge or something that they never looked into, you're viewed as a know-it-all, or, you know, kind of this snot-nosed brat who's trying to kind of push your insane worldview onto them because they're just not familiar with it. But the reality is there's a really large disconnect in between these two generations, and that lies in the information that's at hand between these two. So, you know, the majority of them are not on Twitter or, you know, 4chan or all these other websites sure. where they can find all this information about the Jewish problem or documentaries exposing these issues. So they have very little knowledge on it because the system complex that they have been confined inside of for the last few decades has done everything in its power to ensure that they would never hear about these topics. So now the younger generation, which is growing up precisely on the internet and is forced to see these topics everywhere they go, they're now becoming very educated on this, and they have this knowledge of something that the boomer generation doesn't have, right? So imagine it's much like if you were to go to college at the age of 20 for like literal rocket science, right? And then you were to go and tell your elderly grandparents about, you know, rocket science and how it functions and how a rocket right. works. There would be a complete disconnect and a cognitive dissonance that would kick in, because it's just not something that they've ever heard of or learned about. And they're beyond the age of interest for something of that sort. So there has to be a way to awaken the interest first and foremost, and not this like passive interest that a lot of these people will display, like, oh, you know, well, I don't really care what you do behind closed doors, but as long as you don't do it to my children, right? Like, that's the whole, like, passive interest in politics that they have. We need to awaken a greater interest in politics, one that has a serious conscience behind it. And that's a message that the youth has to push. The youth needs to do a very good job at packaging this as something that's extremely serious, and vital to the existence of not only our people, but, well, I would say not only our country, but our people. However, they don't view our people as the higher principle at this time. They need to awaken to that first as well. So we need to kind of really hammer in on that vital importance in order to grasp their interest and have them be able to open dialogue or want to open dialogue on this topic.
What a lucid, insightful analysis. Scorpio, your thoughts? I think that's it, that a lot of the boomer types, they didn't realize that in the long term, you know, tracking of financial opportunity, economic largesse and such, that the post-World War II until about 1980 was a golden age that the kike has summarily stolen it and parasitically transferred a real economy into this phony fiat currency gig economy. And you know what's funny is one of the things that I wanted to get John to describe was he was a working class guy. He delivered heating oil in Long Island, and he made a living wage enough that he could be prudent and save money. And he traveled to, now it's about 100 countries based on that living and then retiring. And so you couldn't get that today. I'm sure that a heating oil company pays like $20 and you know, all the Pajits or whomever are doing it are happy to do it. So, I mean, that shift, Dave Scorpio, alone has screwed these young people every which way. Your thoughts, Dave, on that and what Jack just said.
Well, certainly, you know, the younger generations growing up in a completely different world than the boomers did, needless to say. And yes, it's because of Jewish, you know, grift and phony inflation and manipulation of the money supply and the flooding of illegal aliens and legal aliens. You know, we need to talk about legal immigration, too. There needs to be a moratorium on all immigration for, like, let's start with 2 years and see how much better the country is. But you know, going back to the generational thing, the boomers grew up in a completely different world, and you know, I'm an Xer, so I kind of grew up on the fumes of the incredible I would say prosperity that boomers grew up in. And of course that's dwindling as the Jew and their allies continue to steal and loot and pillage and plunder every aspect of our economy. But first of all, I think it's important to recognize, you know, there are boomers that are completely aware of what's going on and have done the research and have you know, transformed their belief system given knowledge that they may have learned. So it's not black or white here. There are boomers that are 100% on board. And I'll say this, conversely, it's the boomer generation that is really, more than any other generation, has allowed the Jew to do what they do, basically because they were hoodwinked by religion. And but I'll tell you, as the boomers kind of start to die off, we're going to see this support for Israel start to evaporate, because it's not there with the younger generations. It's not there with a lot of Generation Xers. And as you get the Zoomers, it's not there at all. So that's a good thing. That's going to be very hard to defend and keep going as we move into the future, Giuseppe.
Oh, great point, Dave. And in the meantime, I'd like to say hello to everybody in the chat. Man, that really frustrates me that, well, we did our best. That should have worked. Straight out of Swampton, my buddy Dave down the road. Great to see you, brother. Flack88, thanks for joining. Thomas Dwyer, you're the best. Serbian Bull, he is the best. He supports Davis so much, and he's a great moderator in so many chats. Hello, Ann. I'm glad it's not buffering. Joshua just did a major upgrade with fixing the messed up cache and all that, so it should be better. Panzer IX, white fucking power. Totally agree. Hey, there's the brilliant Flood. Great to see you, Flood. I'm hoping things are starting to go better for you with the new time slots and everything. Let's see. Clinton CJAG, guy does great memes. Michael, Sister Nino, Nightwolf, couple of great guys. Thank you, Flood, for the donation. I really appreciate it. Snail Racer, thanks for popping in. Yeah, that was frustrating. That I always used to work the sharing audio. 7 Thomas 88, hello. And yeah, that little clip of the Gladiator footage and the Marcus Aurelius speech really is really good. Floods totally gets it. Skype is trash. I cringe when people use it. But John Massaro is every cliche about techno-Luddite boomers is John Massaro, man. I've spent so many hours trying to get his laptop to work with Skype, and it's just like his refusal to open to technology is like putting out an energy vibe that makes it all not work or something. It's really weird. There's Lisa from Germany. Welcome. Who else have I not said? Bushmaster 68. Johnny Sunshine's here. The great Johnny Sunshine. Thanks for all those links again, John. Really appreciate it. Ethno Nationalist. Greetings. Crystal Knight. Hello. Flood, another donation. Thank you, Flood. Johnny, they're doing, spelling out the nigger thing, and each one donates. That must be something new. That's pretty cool. I'm down with it. And so let's see. That's a good new meme Flood. I'll have to put that up in a second. All right. That's everybody. Thank you guys for popping in. Always an honor to have such a intelligent viewing audience in chat. I mean, compared to what some of the fellas deal with over there on Odyssey and Rumble, these low level intellects, you know, just embarrassing subhumans, and they claim to be white. Don't know if they are or not, because they hide behind the cowardly anonymity. All right, so continuing on now, Zach, that was really well said. Do you think, Zach, that part of it is because before anybody else, the Jew really understood the power of mind control, first by radio, then by movies, movies came before radio, taking over Hollywood, even though Thomas Edison wanted to ban his film technology and not allow any Jew to get access to it, but they illegally did it and against his wishes. And then all the propaganda that came out of the silent movies, and then, you know, radio was another level up, and then television, and now the internet. There's this whole Hollywood Nazi constantly hammering people that since the 50s, Nazis are bad. Well, late 40s, look at the farce of the Nuremberg trial, where they literally crushed noble German soldiers' testicles to get them to spew the Kike lies, and that just makes me infuriated. So, I mean, what we're literally dealing with the boomer generation, Zach, and then we'll get Scorpio's thoughts, we're literally dealing with mind control and indoctrination that is so powerful and so effective that you can't convince people the truth. Even if you, like, my brother is a year younger. I bought him 3 Money Tree Publishing books for his birthday, which should have been a slam dunk. And he still refuses to believe that the Holocaust isn't real. And he still refuses to, you know, he's Gen X. He's not even a boomer. Well, he's the first year of Gen X. And so, Zach, is it a hopeless cause to try and wake boomers up? Or do you think they'll read a book like The 6 Million Factor Fiction? Or would they read Mein Kampf, the Stalag edition, with an open mind?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the two books that you labeled off, I think there's complications with both for this generation. Number one is Mein Kampf is one of these books that has been so thoroughly demonized.
Right.
Most older, you know, especially like Christian type boomers, they literally view this as like picking up like the Satanic Bible, right? Yeah. That's actually like how they view that book without any knowledge of it. They see it in that light. And I have, I'm telling you, young friends myself that I encourage to get a copy of Mein Kampf. And after they saw the things that I had to say about it and they see the things that I say, they're like, you know, skeptical about what's actually written in there and not what they've been told. And when they order it, they physically, and this is several occasions I've experienced this, they'll send me a photo of it when they get it, and they're like, "Oh, I put it in like this like bottom dark cabinet in my room because I'm really."
So let me ordering take a look.
Cocaine off of the black market or something, right? People are just so terrified to pick up this book because of the social pressure that's been put around it. So with that book, I think there's a different type of complication. Now, when it comes to the 6 million factor fiction, I think the complication here is that we're talking about a book that it's a lot of depth. It's a lot of like this is a very mathematical type of book. It's very almost like science driven. It's very fact-based.
Yeah, the author's a PhD, by the way. I don't know his name. Dave Gahari does, but he is a big brain for sure. Yeah,
of course. And so it's an intellectual work. And most boomers won't even pick up a fiction book to read, like a Stephen King novel, let alone take the time to read something like this. So I think that's where the disconnect on something like this comes in. And this is where, you know, we have to make this message extremely palatable. Again, look at in Germany when they did propaganda in National Socialist Germany. They did such a good job at making this very simple, kind of dumbing it down for the average person, making it appeal to the broadest mass possible. We see this with Trump, right? The reason that Trump has won so many people over on this mass scale, think about this term MAGA, Make America Great Again. Well, right. If you're black, that can appeal to you. If you're Jewish, if you're gay, if you're retarded, you could be anything in the world. And hearing the phrase Make America Great Again can sound good to you because you see it in your own way. Right.
Right.
There's no preconceived notion behind making something great again. You can put your own notion onto it that has a positive twist for you. And that's where the problem that's where propaganda is really positive and good. And that's something that we have to start doing with our message. You know, it's very easy to do with pro-white sentiment. I think people are starting to pick up on that.
Yes.
It's getting exponentially easier to do with negative sentiments against other races and their behaviors because people are now seeing it firsthand with the stabbings in England and the bombings and the crime rate here. So just kind of go back to the initial question and answer it. This goes right back to, I agree with you that there is an indoctrination problem for the most part. They have this very heavy preconceived notion about a lot of these ideas that has been provided to them through the media. However, it again goes to that point of just a simple lack of knowledge on these subjects, you know, which draws this complete disconnect.
Right.
You mentioned the National Socialists having their testicles smashed on trial for the Nuremberg trials. Mm-hmm. If the average person knew that, they would probably have a very different outlook of things, right?
Exactly.
Or if they realize that World War I was the bringing about of the Balfour Declaration and what the Balfour Declaration was. If people knew about that, they would have a different perception of things. But they simply don't know these things. And without the knowledge, it's impossible for you to shape an appropriate worldview around these subjects. So how do you educate them on it? Again, you have to make it simple. People aren't following Trump because they've read all of his policies and they know exactly what he has laid out. They're following him because the guy makes it palatable. He makes it seem nice and he puts it in this nice, well-wrapped package and throws it out there for the people.
You know, what's interesting between Trump and to a far greater degree, the Chancellor Adolf Hitler is, you know, I would think that a lot of the Germans of in the 20s and 30s and early 40s didn't read Adolf Hitler's policy papers either, but they just knew that they went from having to take a wheelbarrow under the Treaty of Versailles oppression and then the Weimar insanity to buy flour to make a loaf of bread to where the economic miracle of turning labor into the currency but Hitler was, you know, 6 million times more charismatic than Donald Trump, but they both got that it, right? And what we need so desperately need in this initiative to bring the whites back to the power in the first world countries that it deserves and earned by literally creating these countries through blood and you know, sacrifice and everything. And so now we don't have that. I mean, Trump is a Zionist. All his initiatives, Scorpio, go to first supporting the Zionist Israel initiative. And then if it just so turns out that because Trump's paying back his enemies for stealing his second term election, which it turns out to be the kumbaya commie Bolshevik 2.0 batshit crazy tranny supporters, homo supporters, child groomers. It just so happens that for regular white people, they think, oh, Donald's taking care of business. Well, he's really just paying back the people who stabbed him in the back. And it's not for you. It's because he wants vengeance. And good for him, because he's taken out a lot of people who deserve to be taken out. But he's not in any way serving MAGA, which is predominantly majority whites who want this country to be shifted back to, you know, 1965, 1975 type function, where whites were the government served the majority of the people. And so before I turn over to Scorpio for his thoughts, thank you so much, Always Honest, for the generous $20 donation. Truly appreciate it. And all the hosts appreciate donations. And let me switch right over to this screen and point out that you can just go right up here and click on, you know, it's good to subscribe. There is no insidious reason why to subscribe, other than we want to keep the shitheads out who disrespect real hosts and real minds with all their nonsense, their 7-year-old bully bullshit. And so there's nothing nefarious is being done with your data. We just you know, that way we can protect our platform. That's the only reason. And once you subscribe, you can put money in a wallet, and then you go up here to a little green button and you can donate to your favorite host. And if your favorite host is not live on the air, you just need to scroll down to their program listing, click on one of their shows, and once the show starts playing, you scroll down and that little green button is there, so you can donate even if they're not on live. So Scorpio, your thoughts on everything, man. This is turning into a really great conversation. Too bad John Massaro, he is enlightened about the Jew and so many things. He would have brought, because he is a true boomer, would have brought, we'll get it worked out for the future. But Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, you know, in regards to buying books for people, you know, it's like the old saying goes, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
So true.
Yeah, it really is a true saying. And but, you know, you do need to have some knowledge. But I think also, you know, there's a spirit of nationalism that's sort of growing around the world, because people are seeing what a disaster multiculturalism is, and what a disaster international trade really is without any restrictions.
Right.
So, you know, I think most people, once they were freed from the mind control of religious thinking or indoctrination they've had as a child, if you look at a Jew, so many Jews just look weird. They look strange. They don't look like somebody you'd want to have around your children. And I think as that kind of just basic human instinct kicks in and nationalism kicks in, the winds of the gods are on our side here. The winds are blowing in our direction finally. And I think it's going to be very hard to stop what's coming in terms of people wanting nationalism, not wanting to live around people that we have nothing in common with, like, you know, these chinks that don't speak any English, or the, you know, the Indians that just smell funny. You know, I mean, there's basic human reactions here that are coming to fruition, and I don't think there's any stopping it as we move forward. And with that, actually, I've got to jump off. It's like 11 o'clock now. So,
well, okay, thanks, Scorpio, for popping in, and we'll talk this weekend and get the schedule for next week. So, thanks so much.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, next week I'll be joining you on video if all goes well. And I still
that'd be good.
Yeah,
you're a handsome devil.
Yeah, I never heard from Josh. So if you could get him to contact me, I'm ready to get rolling on things.
Okay, we'll do. I'll light a fire under his rear end.
All right. Okay, Zach, good to see you again, and we'll talk again. You guys take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Scorpio. Likewise. All right, so Zach, you know, one of the things that is stunning to me about the power of the media, especially Hollywood Nazis, I mean, they totally, to this day, right? I mean, there's, you know, one of my favorite movies to watch is revenge porn, right? It's just so satisfying on so many levels. And yet there's so many movies I cannot enjoy, like Inglourious Basterds or the one that Amazon put out recently, because they're hunting Nazis. And when you especially know, and I know, that the Nazis, the Germans, were the heroes of World War II, they tried to prevent the globalist satanic takeover of the First World, which is now well underway. And so it's so weird. I mean, how can people be so dumb? For example, Zach, when Gilligan's Island came out when I was a little boy in like 1966, I think, the Coast Guard switchboards were overwhelmed and essentially shorted out because so many people were calling the Coast Guard saying, can't you rescue those people on that island? And I mean, so they're talking about Gilligan's Island, right? And so they thought that was real, that goofy, you know, situational comedy. They thought that was real. And so, I mean, I think it's even worse now in a lot of ways that people just think that what they see on TV is reality when it's not. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a very accurate, you know, again, if the only thing you're consuming is television, you would kind of naturally think that's reality. Go back to the famous Plato's allegory of the cave, where these right. men are strapped to a wall in a cave for their entire lives, and the only thing they see in their life is the shadows on the wall, which is oddly similar to seeing a television, right? It's very, very much the same thing. There is a puppet master that is displaying the image that is in front of you. And these people, they, because all they see is the shadows on the wall, when one man finally breaks out and he gets out of this cave and he sees the light of the day and the truth, he's excited, he's thrilled, he wants to come back and tell all the people about it, and their first instinct is to kill him. And that's exactly what we're dealing with today, is you awaken to all of these crucial problems for the existence of our people, which right. are very, you know, positive social influences when you really think yes. about it. What we're preaching is not in the slightest sense evil or negative in any way, shape, or form. And naturally, when we wake up to these things, we want to come back to our family members and all the people around us and say, hey, guys, take a look at this. Did you know this? Did you know that these people have been lying to us? Did you know that we're going extinct? Are you aware of this? And just like the allegory of the cave, their first reaction is to call you a violent white supremacist or just assume that you're some hateful, you know, schizophrenic lunatic who's gone off the deep end somehow. It's a sick reality that we're living in. And this image of the Hollywood Nazi has so far distorted people's understanding of what National Socialism is.
Yes.
So much so that we have literal people who call themselves a quote unquote Nazi and behave exactly as this Hollywood archetype has created, right?
Yes.
They have not read Mein Kampf or studied into National Socialist literature. They don't hold the ideals, but they see on television that there's this rebellious, skinheaded douchebag who wants to beat people up and do drugs, and that's their way of saying, you know, fuck you to society, because society right. hasn't been very good to them. It's just really easy to blame the Jews, right? And this is the hard thing here, is a lot of times one of the arguments against what we talk about, you'll get Jews or other people on Twitter that say, oh, well, you're just jealous that Jews are doing better than you in society. Unfortunately, there is a contingent of people that really are that way. They're just angry at the world. They're angry at society. They're
yeah.
frustrated with everything. And their thing is to just go, fuck you, I'm a Nazi, right? And then there's people that are, they look at what's happening in society. I'm not jealous of anybody. I don't look at anybody in the celebrity atmosphere or any yes. of these billionaires and go, oh man, I wish I was in your position. If I wished that, I wouldn't be doing this, right? I would do something else that makes a lot more money. Of course. But now it kind of draws this, we get kind of associated, kind of clumped into that framework with these naturally rebellious, for the most part, you know, lower elements of society. And this causes a disconnect or a misunderstanding of who we are. I'll never forget. I learned this firsthand when I first tried to speak to a grandfather of mine about the Jewish problem and what is Marxism and things like this. So you agree with me that Marxism is this terribly awful thing and it's really bad. And I said, yeah, well, who created Marxism? And I'm not kidding you. This was his worldview, that it was Karl Marx who did Marxism and Hitler carried it out. That's what he thought.
Holy cow. That's a little out there. Yeah.
I was so flabbergasted by the level of stupidity and lack of knowledge on this that I kind of lost my stoic nature and I got a little bit emotional with him and I was like, dude, like that's just fucking retarded. Like what are you, like you have no idea what you're talking about, right?
And it's your grandfather, so you want to respect him, and then you're like looking at him, and it's like those cartoons with the cuckoo clock going cuckoo cuckoo. That's what you're seeing. It's like, oh my god.
Right. It's like I want to respect this person, but he's talking to me like he was just hit over the head with an aluminum bat. And
yeah.
I feel like it's very hard to have a level of decorum with somebody that's this far off.
So sad. Yeah.
But moral of the story is, at the end of me just calmly explaining facts to him, his instant reaction was, he said to me directly, Zach, you're going down a really dark path. And I said, what's dark about analyzing history and giving you a truthful explanation of what has happened and what is happening today? What's dark about that? And again, he just instantly equated it with this hateful, I somehow want to kill all the Jews or something, none of which was ever even insinuated or stated. They just assume these things because it's what they've been told is a Nazi. So there's a big disconnect in that for sure.
That's a great point. And, you know, I am such a fan of the allegory of the caves and what it means. And most people don't even read the whole thing and understand what it really means. They take the more superficial view, but you know, to me that's a depressing allegory because literally there's no waking people up. Do you think there's a chance? And I don't know if this is a true story or an apocryphal tale, but I've read it in multiple different places where when Columbus's ships were coming to Central America, the islands, the natives were looking out and they couldn't see the ships because it was beyond their comprehension. So finally, the medicine man, who was the elder and had wisdom, and he starts looking out and he sees the ships, right? And so literally, once he saw it and he's describing what he's seeing, the natives suddenly are able to see these ships, right? So to me, that's a more positive opportunity with white, deluded, entranced, Talmudically entranced people is if, you know, and that's probably why it's so frustrating. Like my brother and I, we love each other, but we got in one of our countless arguments and it got real heated until we're like, well, let's agree to disagree right now. But you know, I could have kept pressing him but I didn't because, you know, so you gotta, like Scorpio said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But on the other hand, that metaphor of, and it may be true or it may be apocryphal, of the medicine man helping the natives see something, that's the way I like to look at what we're doing. Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, you know, we're looking at a social illness, and we're saying this illness that is very clearly present in society needs a cure. And that is, I mean, this is what a doctor does, right? That's viewed as a very positive thing when a doctor looks at a physical illness and says, hey, I want to cure that with whatever means I have at my disposal. Now we're looking at a social illness, and the means that we have at our disposal for exactly this social illness just happens to be that this same social illness was existed in Germany 80, 90 years ago, 100 years ago. And the cure was laid out and it worked adequately. That's the best part. We know that the cure works. It's like,
right.
We have this precedent. It's this groundbreaking medicine that can fix society. And we know that it's there and we know that it exists. And it's our duty to tell people now. It's our duty to break the news. We have to be the whistleblowers, right? Just like the COVID whistleblowers that said, hey, wait a minute, ivermectin might be a good alternative. We have to be those whistleblowers that are going to take all of the backlash from society. And that's what we're doing. It's a noble endeavor. You know, no one does this because they want fame or wealth, or they're looking for some kind of high status. They do this, they know precisely the opposite will come to them, which, by the way, is very adequately written in Mein Kampf. It's one of the most insightful things in Mein Kampf. In chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, Hitler lays out, when he's talking about the formulation of the National Socialist Party in their very, very beginnings, when they were actually called the Social Revolutionary Party. That's what they first started as. Uh-huh. And he states that great men, the best men in history who come up with these philosophies or theories to fix society and try to put them into action, they will be hated in their lifetimes. They will always be hated by the mass of people. And it is not until
right.
far after their death that they are recognized for the greatness of what they've done and that they're truly acknowledged for their endeavors. And that's exactly what we're dealing with National Socialism. Think about the early beginnings of Christianity, right? Christianity wasn't Jesus didn't die and then the next day everybody in the world was Christian. It took years and years and years and years for his apostles to spread that across the world, you know, being stoned and having all of these arguments and all the wars that came about across this. And it's the same thing with National Socialism as a very very spiritual ideal, to say the least. This is something that it's going to take fervent, dedicated fighters to push this ideal into the minds of the people if we ever want it to be accepted on mass scale.
Great point. So I'm going to put on the screen now a tweet a few days ago from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., now the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Have you seen that tweet, Zach?
Yes, I did see it.
I'll tell you, good old Bobby Kennedy Jr., he's done a lot of good things, especially when with that Children's Defense Network and all that. And, you know, he spearheaded that book on Fauci, which is just a brilliant takedown of that mass murder. And when he was running for president independently and doing that publicity stunt with that vile kike little demon Rabbi Shmuley Biatch, and I was like, well, he's just trying to do this as a front to try and get Jews to back him, right? So but he can't seriously believe this. But then he comes out with this tweet: anti-Semitism, like racism, is a spiritual and moral malady that sickens societies and kills people, you know, that with lethalities comparable to history's most deadly plagues. How in the world? You are a bright guy. I mean, I've listened to your speeches. I had a lot of respect for you. You used to. And for him, for you to try and legitimize the mass murdering crimes, the fact, Zach, that 2,000 to 3,000 innocent little children in the United States alone disappear every day because the kike controls the international sex trade of children. The kike controls the illegal organ harvesting. The kike controls the adrenochrome processing, you know, secret labs. And if it's not the kike, it's their minions like MS-13. It's their minions like the various organized crime, like the Russian mafia, the other, you know, the Chinese. But they all, the triangle, the power at the top is the international Jew. And for him to not know this, for him to not realize and research that the Jew was intimately involved in killing his own father and his uncle, the president, and for him to come out and he had to do it to keep his job, right? I mean, but God damn, what a mistake. What a tragedy that this guy could get in there and maybe make a little bit of a difference. And instead, he's trying to legitimize the synagogue of Satan. He's trying to legitimize the Talmudic insanity of all these, you know, I could go on and on. Your thoughts, Zach? I'm so disappointed in this guy. It's unbelievable. But he's showing his true colors, right? So, jeez.
Yeah, well, you know, I am sure it's probably not him that actually posted that, to be honest. It's probably one of his Jewish PR reps who, you know, does all of his public relations and does his social media posting. Because there's no way RFK can truly believe these things. I don't think it's possible that he, there is a chance he doesn't know that the Jews killed his father. That might be possible, or his uncle, sorry, rather. There is a chance of that. But I don't think there is a chance that he doesn't know about Jewish power, or that he thinks Jews are crucial for America to survive.
Right.
I don't think that that's true. How many photos are there online of him, you know, buddy, like hugging and holding hands with fucking Rabbi Shmuley, who we know, by the way, is like a massive handler and operative. I don't know if you're familiar with his background with Michael Jackson.
Oh yeah, I am intimately.
Yeah, so I mean, he was a literal operative on behalf of Michael Jackson, you know, handling him from behind the scenes. He dealt with his estate when he passed away. He was crucial or imperative in the creating of that film that was smearing Michael Jackson as a Nazi, quote unquote, right? So he's the guy is the king of blackmail. This fucking Jew. It's very clear that if he's that close with RFK, he's got to have something on RFK, right. Whether that's blackmail, whether that's some kind of legal leverage or whatever the case may be. Even these little clips like the one that you have on the screen right now, we should maybe after I'm done talking, play it with audio. They sure seem fake. They seem acted like it is a script that they're speaking out the way they look at each other and then the camera. It does not seem like a natural encounter of two people who are actually organically having a discussion in front of a camera.
Great points. We will play it. But I see in the chat that my mic has been clipping. Is it still doing it? Can anybody tell me? Is it ongoing or was it just because I increased my volume and I went close to the mic and I did it manually? Anybody? How does it sound now? Anybody? Let's see. Oh, I don't have the auto scroll on. Let's see.
I will say it sounds good on my end.
Okay, yeah. To me, it sounds fine. Mike's still distorted, Serbian Bolt says. Huh. Okay. Let's see. Man, all kinds of silly little technical gremlins today. It's fixed now. Mike is better. Okay, great. Good. All right, so let's play this clip then, Zach. And let me unmute that and go to the beginning. Yeah, it does look contrived, man. Totally contrived. Holy shit, that is like, if anyone's a diabetic, that kind of saccharin overdose is going to put them into insulin shock. Jesus Christ. What a load of kikery horseshit. Holy cow. Poor Robert Kennedy Jr. I mean, that family has really, you know, his grandfather, Joe Kenny, was a real rat bastard who clawed his way to the top via the illegal booze trade back when Prohibition was enforced. And, you know, that family has lost so much, and especially that mother. She was a decent woman. Did you know that his grandfather used to bring up his whores and all that while he was working at their mansion, and the mother would knew everything that was going on and just had to look the other way? I mean, the Kennedys are a dark clan, to say the least, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of history. You know, and even though JFK did some things that we revere, such as trying to make AIPAC register as a foreign agent and kind of putting pressure on Israel, and, you know, he had the nice diary entry about Hitler.
Right.
But aside from all of those things, he did a lot of bad things, too. You know, he wasn't necessarily like this go-to president, like, wow, he's our guy. You know, like, he said some good things. He did some decent things, but he also did a lot of bad things. He was intertwined with a lot of Jews. He put a lot of Jews into positions of power when he was in office, some of which have become extremely crucially subversive in the modern age due to his appointments of them. So, you know, it's not all positive, but it is very clear, and this is why we, you know, revere him for this simple fact, that the Jews hated him. The Jews had a problem with him, and we have this instinctual understanding that anybody that the Jews don't like is probably at least decent for us, if not pretty good. It's kind of been the history of our people, right? All of the greatest men in history have been fervently opposed to the Jews. The best of the best, we'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, it's so funny. Everybody does the same thing when it comes to presidents and politics. They cherry pick the few good things that resonate with them, and they conveniently put up a wall of cognitive dissonance about everything that they did in their full presidency. Like Reagan's a perfect example. Reagan was a communist. He did so much to lay the foundation for the, you know, the blatant Jewish takeover of this country with Zog, and but every of you, those MAGAs, there's two great presidents, Donnie Trump and Ronnie Reagan, woo! And it's just really sad. But hey, it's great to see Nick from Night Nation Review and the great Psychodrilla. It's too bad, Psychodrilla. I was hoping you were going to show up because John Massaro actually went to South Africa and he wanted to talk about the genocide. It would have been great to have you join in as a Rhodesian, but we'll get it figured out. I only wish that I got to figure something out, man. These low tech boomers, they're a challenge. So we'll figure it out. Zach, you know, I've been, you know, being the good host and lobbing all the questions. Is there anything you want to talk about at this point?
Well, actually, I wanted to discuss maybe this is something that would be worth analyzing on a show one day and kind of doing a deep dive on. And I know you're good with or you're at least way more knowledgeable on medicine than I am and medical things. I would be very curious to look into how RFK's voice got the way that it did. Now, I know it's I think it's called spasmodic dysphonia or something like that.
Right.
Diphonia, dysphonia. And it's a neurological problem. But I wonder if this is something that can be caused by poisoning.
Well, it's not. It is. In fact, he has said on multiple public occasions that his vocal injury is vaccine injury. He's publicly stated that.
Okay, so my curiosity is, you know, is he certain that it was caused by one particular vaccine, or is there a chance that this is the cover story that he has been given, and this is possibly something that the Jews did to him? Maybe years ago, as a warning to him to not step out of line so they could continue to have him up front. I've thought about this quite a few times, actually.
That's an interesting that's an interesting investigation. We should, I would like to look into that for sure. And we both should. And then, yeah, well, let's that's an interesting, that they knew that if they could, you know, buck break him, as they say, they'd have a very useful asset. Oh, that's really interesting, Zach. Well, yeah, I would definitely want to research that more.
This is something that has been kind of on my mind from time to time. I've thought about this. It's a theory I've been fomenting a little bit. But this would ideally be exactly the perfect thing that they would do. We know that Jews have a history of doing things exactly like this. I mean, MK Ultra is not far off from something exactly similar. But they know, obviously, what they did to the Kennedy family. And they know that the offspring is going to have concern as to what happened to their family members and want to talk about it and want to expose it publicly. So if you're Jews, you could kill RFK, right? However, first off, that's going to look even more suspicious than the rest of the Kennedys all dying, right?
Right. Yeah,
it's going to add a lot more questions into the fold. Or you could potentially poison him with something that could cause something like this that could be neurologically damaging to him, inform him that if he does not follow suit, what comes next is worse, and scare him into being an asset to push a pro-Israel, pro-Jewish kind of a sentiment and push himself into the political atmosphere with his Kennedy reputation. That seems like something that's very viable, and it's not at all far past Jewish behavior for them to do something like that. They've done it with many others in the past. I'm very curious to actually look into that and see the amount of potential that is for something that is truly the case.
You know, that there's a lot of, you know how you get certain like a intuitional spidey sense when something just makes sense and it's probably real, and that's what I'm getting. I never looked at it like that, but that makes perfect sense, right? To instead of killing this guy, subvert him somehow. And the other thing that it's got to be is I'm starting to see pictures of RFK Jr. with Jeffrey Epstein back in the day. So they must have some salacious video of all the Kennedy boys are quite hungry horn dogs, you know, I mean, John F. Kennedy, Bobby Sr., I mean, they both were dipping the wick in Marilyn Monroe. There's some speculation that Bobby helped get her suppository, barbiturate suppository to kill her. So, and you look at even, I don't get it. RFK Jr. had a great wife. They had a bunch of kids together, and all of a sudden he's got a fly the coop and become a philanderer. I mean, what greater blessing than to have a lot of money and a lot of kids and you don't live and enjoy that great blessing. So they probably have them 3-4 different ways. And I wouldn't doubt if they have some really, really salacious video. And the other thing, as far as questioning his moral character, is that, you know, when his dad was killed, he became a heroin addict in his teens, right? Early teens, like 14, he's mainlining. So, I mean, that shows a real character flaw, in my opinion. So your thoughts?
Yeah. And you know, another piece on this too, I read up on RFK and, you know, in his early years, he was very interested in the legacy of his father and potentially taking up politics, and so was Robert Kennedy, but he was very interested in this, right? And again, of all the injuries that you could get from a vaccine, there's many of them. You know, you could get a blood infection, you can get heart problems or stomach problems, or of all of the things to be affected, it happens to be his voice, which is crucial for a politician. Yes. That happens to be the thing that gets tampered with. It's so coincidental that it makes me question the circumstances. That's like the ultimate form of humiliation too, right? It's like, oh, hey, you want to take part in politics? Well, let's fuck up your voice. So now you can kind of talk, but you can't really talk, you know? So go be a politician. That'll be fun, right? It's, It seems like there's like a humiliation factor in that. I don't know. It's speculation. It's definitely delving into the conspiracy realm. But it's something that has crossed my mind on several occasions. I really don't like to dip too far into speculation very often. But I've really thought about it quite a few times, and it just lines up way too well.
Yeah, when things line up way too well, I mean, that's like literally every piece fits into a puzzle that gives you the picture. It's hard to not want to explore that further. So yeah, man, I'll do some due diligence on that. I'm very curious about that. And, this is, you know, so many people, much like all the MAGAs are like, yeah, we got our guy in there, man. He's going to fix his country. There was like a secret hope with, cause you know, I followed his career with that Children's Health Defense thing, and he's done a lot of good work, litigating, and enforcing, the hidden files and information out. And so you secretly hope that maybe somehow this guy's going to, you know, turn it around a little bit. And now we're getting these texts about, we've got to protect Israel. It's a moral disease. It's like, no, it's not. They're our eternal enemy. They literally killed, not a inflated number, 140 million whites in the 20th century. And, now they're, looking to racially misogynate, breed us out of existence. And every commercial, as you all know, Zach, is some black buck with a white woman, or some white woman with an Asian guy, or a mestizo. It's like, it's unbelievable. Or white guy with a black chick, or Asian chick. It's like, you know, the reality is the big majority still is heterosexual white couples in this country. But if you paid attention to advertising, you would think that there's probably only, you know, a handful of white couples and white children around anymore. It's so insidious. And so I think you're really onto something there. So yeah,
I would be interested if you can dig a little bit of research up and find out if this spasmic dysphonia or whatever it's called, if that's something that can be caused by poisoning, not just a vaccine occurrence, but if there is a specific type of route that someone can go to poison someone or do something to them to give them that exact side effect.
Yeah, I am going to look into that and see what are the primary causes historically in people. Yeah, I have a ton of medical literature from when I was in school. I bought all the big reference books because I just thought it would be useful for the rest of my life. And I will definitely look into that. Well, that's pretty cool. So how are things going with good old Stu Peters and you on X? Are you still generating some major numbers?
Yeah, unfortunately, February has been a very off month for me, both in production quality and quantity, because these back and forth sicknesses and all this.
Yeah, you weren't feeling good. Yeah.
Other nonsense. It's really, you know, I've been doing this series where I'm reading Mein Kampf to my audience, and I provide an analysis while I read, because I think it's just such an important book. You don't want to just monotone read like chapter one, you know, in my home. You want to really have some kind of enthusiasm and some passion behind the read. So with the lack of energy that I was having and kind of just how I was feeling, it was really hard to bring myself to have that passion that I want to have for it. So I really haven't done a lot of shows lately. However, Twitter's been all the same. It's been, kind of this nice upswing. It's been continuing to climb like a mountain. But I am planning to get back on the horse with my shows very soon. I'm hoping this coming Monday, I'm going to kind of kick it back in full gear. I have quite a few things mapped out in my book and stuff that I really want to do.
Well, that's good to hear that you're building up enough vitality that you're ready to go. I just want to mention, everybody, that books are the bomb, as they used to say in the 90s. And there's no better source for incredibly world-class, copy-edited and succinctly produced white nationalist material than MoneyTreePublishing.com. And the owner of Money Tree Publishing, of Moon Rock Books, if you're into conspiracy, is Dave Gahari. He also owns FTJ Media. So number one, it's good to own some of these books. You know, I don't know. I read PDFs but I like books, man. So if I can afford it, I buy the book. And so there's so many great books. And we were talking earlier about an intro book. And, you know, because of his schedule, Dr. Reed Sainsbury is a very successful naturopath down in Alabama. And so he can't come on during the day and do interviews. But his book, Exposing the Lies of History, is a great primer to wake people up, because some of the chapters are super short and succinct. Others are a little longer, but it's nothing. There's no fat. It's just intellectual lean meat. And he honors his father, who spent 70 years collecting the data, and he and Dave Gahari took 3 years, and there's so many things that they would have liked to include it, but Dave is a legitimate journalist, as am I, and if you can't independently vet two sources of the claim, you can't use it. So literally, the Exposing the Lies of History, Deprogramming 101, there's 300 more pages that couldn't be included because the company could have been sued. So everything that's in that book has been vetted, and it's a great starter to maybe someone who's beginning to think about, well, maybe Crazy Zach and Crazy Giuseppe and Crazy Gahari are right. So it's a great book to start. And once they get into that, Myth of German Villainy is outstanding. 6 Million. If you really want to read something amazing from 40 years ago, so relevant now, the Siege anthology is so well done. The paper is printed like in an actual newsletter stock and all that. And of course, The International Jew by Henry Ford, 2-volume set. There's so much stunningly good info in that. So anyway, you should own some books from Money Tree. And if you use the code GMAN, G-M-A-N, 4 letters, you save 10%. And you're also supporting and giving some working capital to Dave Gahari. And because we don't have any corporate advertisements, we don't have any corporate control. It's if you guys want to come to FTJ and use FTJ Pro, which is $50 a year or $5 a month, and then you can post your videos or your books or your music. And again, it gives Dave working capital to keep all this going and improving. And so I know Josh has been doing some really great work recently as far as the cash and all that. So and making the video smoother and yada, yada, yada. So anyway, support Money Tree, support FTJ if you can. All right, Zach, so I'm glad you're feeling better. And let's go. Let's put that one up. And then let's go back to see. There was an interesting point in the chat that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Let's see. It was up a bit. Where is it? Oh, a lot. That's weird that the mic went static. Well, I'm not seeing it. There was a point I wanted to make. So instead, let's go to what is your take, Zach, on what Trump's up to in Ukraine, man? I mean, that whole where him and J.D. Vance just totally, put the little homosexual bad comedian, Jewish comedian Zelensky in his place. And, you know, they've cut off spy data, CIA information, the satellites from him. And Trump really doesn't want to be involved in Ukraine anymore, and especially doesn't want to have U.S. soldiers involved in that. So that's really, really fascinating to me. Again, I attribute this, and your thoughts in a moment, attribute this to him paying back the people who stabbed him in the back, not doing it for the country. But what's interesting is the absolute insanity of, like, you know, there's these movies where you know the horror movie genre where you think you've vanquished the evil villain, and then they pop up one last time to try and stab, and then someone puts them down finally, right? It's such a cliche in those genres, but it seems to me that the whole Davos World Economic Forum European Union control is that right now. They're cropping up, and one last thing, we're going to fight Russia ourselves, European Union, even though nobody, especially white people in any European nation, want anything to do with a war with Russia, because let's face it, Russia will wipe the mat with them. Russia will put Europe into the Stone Age. And so the idea that these traitors, these satanic subhumans like that president of the European Union, Ursula von Wingy Dingy Slinky, whatever her name is, but she's like totally pushing the bubonic jujab poisons. You look at that little ladyboy Macron, who basically gave a speech yesterday or the day before describing how essentially declaring war on Russia, that insane sniveling weasel Keir Starmer in UK's already pledged troops and weapons. And keep in mind, France and Britain both have functional nuclear weapons, nowhere near the amount of Russia, China, or America, United States, but they can hurt Russia if they want to, but what's going to come back at them literally will end Europe. And so why in the world would you do that, Zach? I mean, seriously, you're going to wipe out your country, your continent, in service of these vile kikes? I mean, it makes no sense just from a survivalist perspective. So your thoughts?
Well, again, a lot of these people that are in these elite upper echelons of society, they don't associate themselves with the common folk or the country or the common man, right? They kind of see themselves above these things. And I think a lot of them feel very comfortable fleeing to Geneva or something after anything would arise in one of their countries. So, you know, them selling out and you know, even this whole discussion with Zelensky, which was publicly done up, right, where they're in this room, they have this big conversation.
Right.
You know, you didn't see that at all during Trump's last term in office. You didn't see a lot of these, like, you never see a meeting of him privately where he's having a discussion with Xi Jinping or Putin. Right. You don't see a lot of these private meetings, but for some reason we see this one. And, you know, this one's rather interesting because J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and Zelensky, all three of these individuals have a past in acting. They literally had acting careers before
Right. They
were politicians. I don't know if you know this or if your audience knows this, but Zelensky actually played on a show as an actor in Ukraine like 3 or 4 years before he became president or leader, whatever they call him in Ukraine. Before he took power, he played on a show where he was the democratically elected president of Ukraine.
No way.
I swear to God, what's the name of the show? I'll try to look it up because he actually played the role of the president of Ukraine who got democratically elected. This was predictive programming to normalize the idea of him becoming the president. And then like 3 years later, he was actually the president. I'll try to look it up right now, but it was a Netflix series that he was a part of.
Oh, man. So they're blurring the fourth wall, right? Like the Deadpool Marvel movies do, where they set it up that he was president. And then they went, screw it. Let's make him president. We need some goof to be our puppet. So, oh, my God. That's amazing. I did not know that. So
I found it. It's called Servant of the People.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah. And this was 2015, 2017, and 2019. It was three seasons, and he plays as a cultured high school teacher who, you know, sees societal ills and decides that he wants to get democratically elected to be president so he can fix the country. And then right after the show is finished airing, he just magically becomes the president of Ukraine.
Oh, my God.
He gets installed by these fucking Jews. So I mean, you know, when you look at it like that, When you see it through that kind of a lens, and you see this little meeting between him, Trump, and Vance, both of them also with acting pasts, it literally, it's like a set. It's like a Hollywood set. And that to me is very concerning.
You know, that is concerning. So, you know, there's so many people who feel like it's all kabuki theater, and what you're describing is the absolutely kabuki theater. So, yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, at some point we have to find that charismatic white man to rally people. It can't be the same as Germany and National Socialism, because they were a homogenous society, and the United States, sadly, is the farthest thing from a homogenous society. Although there are, you know, I guess, you know, on a spectrum of solutions, ideally would be whites rise up and take care of business for whites by whites. But I'm more than willing to have a Lord of the Rings like Fellowship of the Ring if other races join in to vanquish Sauron, the international Jew, and then they get their couple states as a reward. So, you know, it's all just pie in the sky, of course, but we need something, because the power that these vile kikes wield is just growing. And even Zach, with the amazing, you know, platform of like Twitter becoming the name, the Jew premium platform, it doesn't seem like it's really making a dent in anything they do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I simply agree with that entirely. There does not seem to be too much of a dent at all. I would agree.
Yeah, it's just like they're like, oh, well, let's them bitch about it, because they can't organize. They can't, you know, and even like a year ago when there seemed to be, you know, I was reaching out to a bunch of the GTV guys and you know, it started out real nice and respectful. And then, holy cow, we know what the last year has brought from all that. And so it's just like they just have to be laughing and doing their Jew hand rubbing thing, happy merchant hand rubbing thing, and just like they pose us no threat, but we need to pose them a threat. And so but considering Twitter, one of my dear friends, Robert Phoenix, I have it set up more as a news feed. I don't really follow personalities, but he asked me, who is this guy Ian Carroll, and why did he explode all of a sudden? And do you have any thoughts? Do you know who he is? And all of a sudden, Ian Carroll's everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of back and forth on him. And this is a really hard thing. So we have this, being in our scene for the last, I've only been around for 2 years, 3 years, right? But
right.
Prior to being in this scene, for the last 10 years, anyone that was inside of this scene, they watched as there was this very clear line where it was impossible for somebody to actually organically grow in this scene. Right. The censorship was just ridiculous, whether it was on Twitter, on YouTube, on Google, whatever the case may be. The censorship was so absurd that no one could just organically grow and make a name for themselves doing this. Now it's loosened up to an extent where people can naturally grow, right?
Right.
Like myself, for instance. Actually, I'll give you a better example of myself. Gentile News Network. That guy's had his Twitter account for a little over a year, and he has like 150,000 followers on Twitter.
Really?
That's organic growth. He wasn't propped up by any outlets, no media coverage of him. His like real name and face wasn't out there until he put it out there. It's not like this was he was artificially boosted in any way. So a lot of people see somebody grow, and they have that recollection of these heavily censorship-oriented times, and they assume that anybody who grows to a certain extent instantly has to be a bad actor or a subversive or somebody who's working negatively against our cause. Now, one thing that's really key that we always have to look at with a subversive, this term that we use. If somebody is a subversive who's been artificially placed in a role inside of our movement or inside of a media apparatus, they have to do something that is subversive. That's the only way they are subversive, right? If they come in and they're a good person and they're not saying or doing anything wrong or anything that is out of line with our ideals, then they're not subversive. But when they start doing things that are not in line with us, then they become a subversive.
Yes.
So that's how you have to tell if somebody is or is not oriented with the system, right? Also their relationships with Jews, for example, RFK hanging out with Shmuley left and right, things like that. Those are clear indications that this person is not our guy, right?
Yes.
You know, you're not going to ever see me hanging out with a fucking Jew, like ever, under any circumstances. You won't see me shaking Jew's hand. I'm not going anywhere near these people.
Me too. Yep.
Good. So that's, you know, that's one way you can tell. Their rhetoric is a big way, right? Are they pushing like this, we all have to be a Gentile coalition that we all live together and go against the Jews as one big squadron. You know, you have to be very diligent looking at their rhetoric. This is where a lot of the subversion will come across. You know, are there a lot of degeneracies that they push? I'll give you a really good example. A lot of people like Myron Gaines and others in this scene are growing very fast. And they're in this like manosphere realm, right? Where now they're becoming sentimental towards white nationalism. They're talking positively about it. They're kind of displaying things about Jews and some revisionism on 9/11 and the Holocaust. But then they also push this idea that like, as a man, your goal in life should be like get a Lambo, have a $1 million home, sleep with 50 women. Like that's the ideal happiness. That's the ideal male archetype. So they're pushing all of these sexual degeneracies and these cultural degeneracies along with this Jewish narrative, it becomes very clear that there's something subversive there. And again, whether that's intentional subversion or unintentional, it's hard to say. But now to go back to the case of Ian Carroll, I've seen a lot on both sides. I've seen people calling him subversive. I've seen people standing up for him. I don't know a lot about him. I don't know a lot about his growth. I know he grew a lot on TikTok, which is an easy platform to grow on naturally. But I don't know enough about his rhetoric in order to have a good assessment on what I think is the case with him specifically. I've seen decent things, but I've also seen some red flags that others have stated. I just haven't seen them from him himself because I don't really watch his stuff. It's a little too normie friendly for me, right? I already know pretty much everything he's laying out. I want to hear the good takes, the crucial stuff, right? I want to hear people talking about National Socialism and, you know, the Jewish problem as like a genetic disorder and issue. You know, that's what I want to research up on, not, you know, some guy going, oh, hey, did you know that Epstein's list was the Mossad? And this, like, I know. This is like if you're in this movement, that's like par for the course. You already know these things by default. You don't even need to really look into them all that much. But
yeah, you want college-level classes. You don't want to go back to grade school. Yeah, exactly.
Right, and that's kind of what his stuff is. He's appealing to a more normie base. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he is subversive or not, but I think it would be worth taking a little bit of time to find out. I know he just recently went on Joe Rogan. I would be interested in watching that interview that he did with Rogan and kind of viewing his rhetoric on there and seeing how he handles things.
That's a really good point. Speaking of rhetoric and delusion, what is your take on the blacks claiming that they have basically created and built every civilization and the Jew, feeding that delusion, and you see what BBC has done with all these classic works of Shakespeare, which were for white people by white people, are now just chock full of Negroids playing all the vital parts. I mean, the disgusting, ugly black woman who played alongside little Tom Holland, I think his name is, the guy who plays Spider-Man. And it's just, it's unbelievable to me that all these blacks would believe it, but I think they do, Zach. Do you have any thoughts on that issue?
Well, they're a primitive people, so it's very, if you take a child and tell them that they are descendant of kings and that they are royalty, they will start acting as such and believing such because that's what children do. They don't know any better. And I think that's the case with a lot of these blacks that are falling into this garbage and nonsense. And I think there's also an extra subversion that's added to this because obviously this main the main consensus of all of this, where it comes from, is Jewish teaching, right?
Yes.
Just Marxist teaching in universities, where they're teaching blacks that they've been displaced by whites and that they were doing great before we came and fucked with them and did all these things. And the reason that Jews do this, it's twofold. One, it obviously irritates blacks against the host populace and makes them a problem in itself. But additionally, it destroys the credence of National Socialist philosophy and the historical understanding of the Aryan peoples, right? So when we look at this whole "we was Kangs" thing, right, where blacks think that they built the pyramids, they did all this different shit. Now when we make the same argument on our side and we say, look, like Aryans, the Aryan people are a prevalent factor in the creation of every single good civilization that's ever existed, right? And we can actually make an argument even for ancient India and ancient Egypt and things like this, where there are tombs where mummies have red hair and blue eyes, right? So we have scientific and philosophical basis for this claim that we're making, but it instantly gets lumped in with this "we was Kangs" thing, right? People, when you try to talk about this, people on Twitter or whatever, they'll come up with this, oh, you sound like a white version of the "we was Kangs," like Aryans built everything. Yeah, but well, there's actually historical evidence that that's the
exactly
case, right.
Yeah.
There is no real historical evidence that blacks built civilization. I mean, they want to claim our historical figures, for Christ's sake. Like they're claiming Jesus was black and Caesar was black and all this. Shakespeare, yep. Right? So like it's obvious nonsense coming from these people, but it discredits our actual claim to a genetic founding of civilization.
Right.
And something that, by the way, it's not this gets confused to be like a pride complex where it's like, yeah, we're better than everybody because we built everything. It's not about that. There's actually a really important thing to analyze here. If it is true, which I genuinely believe it is such, that the Aryan peoples are responsible for almost all inventions upon this earth, almost all great civilizations upon this earth,
right,
then it becomes extremely crucial that we keep that group of people going, that we perpetuate that race of people in order that they can continue to create great civilizations and great inventions. Why would we want all that's left in the world is the people that were responsible for 5% of the world's inventions and very, you know, menial inventions at that? Right. It's very important to analyze this because if this is true, and again, I really do believe it is, there is an even more important and more crucial case for us to continue to perpetuate the existence of our people. It's not just this kind of Christian universalist, oh, well, like we're a human people and all humans have the right to live. It's like, well, actually, naturally, like that means we're more valuable, right? By a demographic note, the same way that if you are a hunter and you want to get a dog to help you hunt, you're going to go for like a bloodhound, right? Because that's more valuable for that circumstance than getting a pit bull, for example, or getting a poodle. They're not going to really be too helpful with duck hunting. In the same way, when we're talking about the existence of civilization, you're going to want to go to the most valuable asset that's created the most civilization, that's been the most beneficial towards the thriving of civilization. And that's why it's very important for us to analyze this on a historical framework.
That's a great point, really true. And plus, it seems to me that the it's human nature to look around, and when you see like the whites, the Chinese, all these other races kind of leapfrogging you, because, you know, the blacks haven't – they've been in this country a long time, and the lower third or even the lower half of the black population has never come out of the ghetto, right? In fact, the ghetto is growing for them. It's the exact opposite. So there's this fundamental deep-rooted insecurity, I think, that drives a lot of this, that will then, you know, allow them to legitimately believe these bombastic claims that we was Kangs and all that. It's like, sure you were. But, you know, it's sad and on one hand, but on the other hand, got to get beyond the white curse of having too much empathy. Look at the fact that I just read this a couple days ago, recent statistics, 97% of all violent assaults, all rapes, all murders are by blacks in the New York borough, seven borough area. I mean, that, you know, or MUDs, I should say. A lot of it's, you know, mestizo browns and all that too. But the whites aren't doing it, and yet the whites are plagued by this, right? So that's, I think, one of the ways we have to wake white normies up is like, look, whites aren't raping blacks. Whites aren't sucker punching blacks. Whites aren't robbing blacks at gunpoint. Whites aren't randomly shooting blacks, but blacks are doing all that to whites. And so it's crazy, man. This has been a really great show, Zach. I enjoy having these discussions with you. You're just a brilliant young mind. And so we're coming to the end of the show, Zach. So let's have you promo all your – and now you're ramping up again. So Monday, Zach's back in the saddle, which is really good to hear. And so tell everybody your various platforms.
Yeah, very quickly, I actually just wanted to add one more thing.
Of course.
This case with the blacks. And them becoming more and more into the ghettos, into this hood culture over time. This is very important because people will look back at 60 years ago and they'll say, oh, well, blacks used to wear dresses and have a family unit and go to church. And, you know, they lost that because society. This is key. And we'll go back to the example of canines, right? We were talking about dogs being valuable in certain positions. Think about wolves. Wolves, when they're born in the wild, they're naturally a predator to humans, right? Same with foxes. Foxes are not friendly towards human beings when they're born in the wild. However, under very strict environmental conditions, when a fox is born into the wilderness and nurtured from baby on up by a human, they become socialized into being around humans and kind of accepting that human atmosphere, right? Which is the same with the blacks here. In the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, blacks were under very strict conditions where we had a actual Anglo-Saxon ruling class that controlled this civilization and kept them under check. Otherwise, we know that their primitive behaviors would kick out of them. Now, the second that you take that baby fox after it's grown up into old age and you put it out into the wilderness and it now perpetuates babies in the wilderness, are the babies of that domesticated fox going to come out domesticated as well in the wilderness? No, they will not, unless they're put back into that same strict environmental condition that forces them into that behavioral mode. And this is exactly what it will be with blacks indefinitely. Unless we are there to babysit them on a political and social standard indefinitely until the end of time, they will always revert to this more primitive behavior type. We just have to acknowledge that as fact. It's an argument against this nonsense where people, you know, are constantly saying like, oh, well, blacks in the 60s and 50s, they were more cultured. Yeah, maybe they were, but it's because that we domesticated them into that more cultured behavior. And the second that they're left to their own devices in Section 8, look at them now. They're right back to where they were before. They're shooting each other. They're killing each other. You know, having disputes over $5 and people are getting shot up over it. So that's a very important thing for us to look at. With that said, that'll be my closing statement about babysitting blacks. Thank you, G-Man. This is a great show. As you can tell, I'm definitely more energetic today. I've got my energy.
Oh, yeah, you got your mojo back.
Yeah, I really do. I feel great. A little bit of congestion, but nothing compared to the fatigue and all that other garbage.
That's the final step as your body's vanquishing it. Yeah,
I'll take this any day. This is fine. It's just annoying more than anything. And I'm annoyed enough by Jews. So a little bit of a stuffy nose isn't going to kill me.
There you go.
So anyway, if you guys want to find my show, if you guys want to follow me on all the things I'm doing, Twitter is the hot spot where I'm doing the most of my stuff, or X, whatever you want to call it. It's at Logos Revealed I. There's an I at the end of it. I've got a little bio inside the Twitter. It's got a link inside that bio. It's called bios.site. And if you go to that, it will give you all the links to all my channels. I'm on Odyssey. I'm on Rumble. I'm on FTJ. I've made a Substack. I actually have an article that I'm going to be writing this weekend that I should be posting hopefully by Sunday.
Cool.
As well as there's one other article up there on altruism. And the next one is going to be there's a sneak peek for anybody that watches this show. It's going to be Against Democracy. It's going to be my next article that I'm writing. So if you want to read up on that, if you're curious for what I have to say, You can follow me over there. That's free to do. It's free to do everywhere. So yeah, you can follow me on all those platforms. I'm live on the Stu Peters Network Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I will be kicking that schedule back up this coming Monday, and we're going to be going right back into Mein Kampf and reading that. And this Friday, oh, not this Friday, well, not today, but next Friday, I'm going to be doing a book analysis of Battle for Berlin by Joseph Goebbels with the translator and publisher of the book. He's going to be coming on my show to discuss the book. It's a wonderful work. So make sure you guys catch that show.
Oh, great. That sounds great. So one final thing I want to mention is if you go to Twitter and you click on Zach's bio tree, you see all the various platforms he's on. But the important thing to note, if you want to support Zach with donations, is Howard Lutnick, Trump's Treasury Secretary, vile kike if there ever was one, charges 40% VIG if you make a donation on Rumble. FTJ Media with Dave Gahari totally supports his hosts, his talent. He just passes along 97%, just 3% is his fee. He doesn't even add a 0.25%. That's why we do these other fundraising things for FTJ. He wants hosts because he knows, because he's a host and a writer and a journalist and a small business owner. The long, long hours you put in to produce quality content, not stupid shit like, I'm high on meth, man. Hey, hey, chat. What should I pull my zipper down, chat? That kind of stupid shit, which appeals to, you know, 7-year-old mentalities. That's not what you get at FTJ and any of the hosts. But if you want to donate to Zach or any of the hosts, go to FTJ because they get so much more of the money instead of having Howard Lutnick keep 40%. For doing nothing, basically, because, you know, a lot of these platforms, they take open source tech and then they tweak it and then they claim they created it. And so it's just a bunch of BS. So I want to thank everybody. I'm hoping, Zach, next week we can have Tonitris and Scorpio or Tonitris and someone, and we can have one of our generational discussions. I really think as much as possible, we got to come up with generational solutions and to wake up your grandfather, wake up my brother, wake up more and more people, because it's the longer shot, but I would prefer Whitey to seize the day and champion Whitey, and not, we don't have to go to the Lord of the Rings. But if we're going to do that, we got to wake up a lot of Whiteys. And so, that's what we're trying to do. So I want to thank everybody. Oh, I want to thank the donations one more time. Thanks so much to Flood. And Flood created some amazing AI new logos for me that are very cool. I've been using them in the promo. Thank you so much, Johnny Sunshine, for donations. Thank you. Always honest, truly generous. Really appreciate everything you do, and especially your now co-host with Davis Lerman on Thursday nights, which is enjoyable to listen to. And thank you so much, Thomas Dwyer. You're such a generous and regular donator. And, you know, thanks to everybody, and appreciate you tuning in. And that was weird that my mic did that. Probably because I was all fired up and was speaking right into the mic, and I have it up loud because most of the time it's over here. You know, if you're a singer, you go like that, it gets distorted, but because I have it turned up high to get me when I'm doing this. So, you know, hopefully, you know, boy, God bless everybody. Coming into spring, the best season of the year. Well, fall is the best here, but second best before the hot, oppressive, humid summers of Stafford, Virginia. But you know what? We got to continue to wake white people up. You know, everybody else, you know, like Arthur Kwan Lee, Hu Flung Poo, I think is his real name. All these guys are getting it, and they're championing our race. But you know what? I think we need to champion. Whites need to champion the white race. Whites need to wrestle power back from these vile kikes. And we only do that as a tribe, a white tribe. So everybody have a great weekend. Thanks so much to Zach and John Massaro. Got to figure out a new low-tech solution, man. That sucks. That would have been a good show, but we'll get it right. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And don't forget, every night, Davis Lerman, every day Flood, every day Nick Nine Nation Review, most days of the week. I think Psychedrill is taking a week off, but he'll be back next week. Don't forget the brilliant Daniel Christos of Ball Busters. Scorpio is finally ready to come aboard. He's got his tech straightened out, and that's awesome. And, you know, check out the new guys like Jason Kessler and some of these other new people who are coming on. And with that being said, thank you so much. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back next week, as always, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And actually, I'll be popping in on Scorpio's shows pretty regularly. I'm not sure when he's going to do those yet, but we have a nice chemistry, so I'm sure you'll enjoy that. Thank you again, Zach. You're just a brilliant young guy, and I'm very curious to see how things go for you in the next few years as you get to solidify your place in Twitter and Stu Peters and everything. It's really cool to see. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Friday, and let me get this right. Here we go. Hail victory for whites. White power. Boom, boom, boom.